As Louise mentioned, we're continuing our theme of prayer, and this morning's topic is praying in the Spirit. Just before we do that, let's just commit this time to the Lord and ask for His leading. Heavenly Father, we just pray that by Your Spirit You would be with us now as we open Your Scripture. We pray that You would lead us and guide and direct us. And we pray that You would speak to us through this message, Lord, that each one gathered here this morning might hear from You. Thank You, Lord. Amen. So we're going to look at some scripture now. We'll focus on two passages of scripture that refer specifically to praying in the Spirit. And what we will be looking to do is trying to answer three questions: the why, what, and the how. Why do we pray in the Spirit? How do we pray in the Spirit? And why do we pray in the Spirit? Why, what, and how? So those are the three questions we're going to be asking. And I've got the actual passage of Scripture coming up there, and you please feel free to read with me as we read Ephesians 6, 14 to 20. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given to me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. And then the other passage of scripture comes from Jude. One chapter is the book of Jude itself, so verses 19 to 22. It is these worldly people, devoid of the Spirit, who are causing divisions. But you, beloved, build yourselves up on your most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Look forward to the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. So, why should we pray in the Spirit? I've got three reasons that I can get from the scripture that we've read. And the first one is to strengthen ourselves in the power of God. Paul tells us, as he builds up towards putting this armor of God on, he tells us in verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. So this is how, in this battle that he's talking about spiritual warfare. And in this battle that we're all engaged in, he tells us we need to put on this armor. And then he tells us in verse 10 that this is what empowers us for this battle. Okay? This mighty battle. So that's one of the reasons why we want to pray in the Spirit, is to strengthen ourselves in the power of God. Prayer is the seventh piece of armor that Paul refers to here. Notice that he mentions the breastplate and all of those, the shoes and the shield, the helmet and the sword. And then he says, now pray in the Spirit. Prayer is the seventh part of the armor. And prayer is, number seven. Seven is also the number of completion in Scripture. So Paul's saying, for you to be complete in the armor of God, you need to pray. That's what completes you. The seventh item, the seventh piece of armor. Prayer is the arena, the amphitheater, the energy, and the atmosphere in which we wage war. Believers must live in prayer at all times in order to win the spiritual battle. The second reason we get from Jude tells us that we will keep us in love of God. By praying in the Spirit, it will keep us in the love of God. Verse 20, he says, but you, beloved, build yourselves up on your most holy faith. Pray in the Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Praying in the Spirit keeps us in the love of God. You see, Jude's message is all about perseverance. How to fight the good fight and take hold of eternal life. How to keep faith and finish the race. How to endure to the end and so be saved. It's about perseverance and endurance. We need to keep ourselves in the love of God. And notice also that perseverance is something I do. It is something that we do as individuals and as a body of Christ corporately. It is I who builds up my faith. It is I who prays. It is I who keeps myself in the love of God unto eternity. That's what Jude says. So by praying in the Spirit, we build our faith and we keep ourselves in the love of God. But there's a third reason that Jude gives us. He reveals another truth, a deeper truth about perseverance. And the third reason to pray in the Spirit is to be kept in the love of God. So if you look at verse 1 of Jude, he starts off his letter by saying, Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called beloved in God the Father and kept in Jesus Christ. Now it's not us as individuals that is keeping ourselves in the love of God. Jude is saying we are kept. Something is keeping us in the love of God. What is that? Who is that? Well, let's go and look at that very well-known doxology at the end of the book. Sometimes you need to go to the end to find the answer from the beginning. And you all know this doxology. Now unto him who is able to keep you. There we have this word again. Unto him who is able to keep you within his love. And that's what Jude is saying. So we have this element of perseverance again. But it's not us keeping ourselves. Now God is keeping us. Isn't that amazing? That's absolutely amazing. He says, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. So God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, keeps us in his love now and forever. So perseverance unto eternal life is both God's doing, verse 1, we are kept, and verse 24, he is able to keep us, and it's our own doing, verse 21, by praying in the Spirit. It's an amazing thing, this. We saw there in the song we sung, only by grace can we enter, only by grace can we stand. And that's what prayer does. You see, you might wonder and ask, well, if God is the ruler of the whole entire universe, he's the creator of the universe, he created it all, why would he want to do anything that we do, that we ask him to do? Why should we pray for one thing or the other if God is going to decide? But folks, this is the most amazing thing that God has done for us. He has chosen to have a relationship with us, and the way in which we maintain that relationship is through prayer, and it's by grace. Prayer is the means of grace that God has given us to stay in relationship with him. So we need to do something, we need to pray, and God does something, he deals with our prayers. So prayers is the means of grace. And it's the means of our perseverance in the Spirit. God decides. Sorry, I just lost my place, yeah? And it's thirsty work. God's action is decisive, our action is dependent, but both actions are essential. Grace through God is what we have and how we exercise those means of grace through prayer. So imagine if somebody said to himself, well, I'm not going to breathe anymore because God is the giver of all life, he sustains all life, he can take life away and he can give it back. So why do I bother breathing? Folks, if you don't breathe, it won't go well with you. You are sure to die. Just as in the physical means, in the physical realm, God has given us breathing to keep us alive, so in the spiritual realm, God has given us prayer to keep us alive. And if you don't pray, you don't sustain yourself in the love of God. And you will die. But the most amazing thing about that is that God has chosen to keep us in relationship with Him through prayer. So God's action is decisive, but our action is dependent, and both are required. So by praying in the Spirit, we strengthen ourselves in the power of God, we keep ourselves in the love of God, and we are kept in the love of God. So what is praying in the Spirit? Well, the Greek word translated pray in can have several different meanings. It can mean by means of, with the help of, in the sphere of, and in connection to. So praying in the Spirit is praying according to the Spirit's leading and guiding. It is praying for things that the Spirit leads us to pray for. And when we do this, we pray in His will. And when we pray in His will, we pray by His power, or with His power. Paul brings these three concepts together quite succinctly in Romans chapter 8, verses 26 to 27. He says, "In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God." So the Spirit helps us by empowering our prayers through His intercession, in verse 26, and according to the will of God, in 27. And when we pray in the Word of God, we pray by the power of God. When our prayers are motivated by selfish greed or ignorance, we're not praying in the Holy Spirit. We're praying in the flesh, in our own spirit, and accordingly, in our own power, in our own strength. Which is not to say that we shouldn't pray for ourselves, for our own needs. The Holy Spirit will lead us into praying for our own needs, our own genuine needs. We can be sure of this because the Word tells us so. These, what's known as prayers of supplication, it's not arrogant to pray for these needs that the Spirit leads us into. If you look at Philippians 4, chapter 6, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition," or supplication as the King James refers to it, "with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." So we have that confidence that we can pray for our needs. And not only that, 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15 confirms the confidence we can have when we pray in God's will. It says, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of Him." So we have this confidence. In summary then, prayer according to His direction, praying in the Spirit is prayer according to His direction, prayer in His will, the will of God, and we pray in power, in His power, when we do this. I'm not sure these points are supposed to be coming up there, but never mind. It's not in the PowerPoint. The point is in the power. All right, so how shall we pray in the Spirit? We need to be sure that we are praying in the correct spirit, the right spirit. We want to be led by the right spirit, don't we? So let's look closely at Ephesians 6, 18 and 19. These two verses, particularly the first verse 18, is packed with the characteristics that Paul is telling us what praying in the Spirit is. So let's unpack that verse and see what we can learn. The first thing is, prayer in the Spirit is perpetual and constant. Paul says that we should pray in the Spirit on all occasions. That's in the NIV. In the King James Version, he says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit." So there's two things that we can see going on there. Praying in the Spirit is perpetual. It is the way that all prayer should be offered up. It's not a type of prayer. All prayer should be offered up in the Spirit. All prayer should be Spirit-led. And secondly, it's constant. We should pray a lot. It's like being in constant communion with God. In every circumstance and situation, often and repeatedly, we need to be praying to God. It's like having this God consciousness. You remember those bands people used to wear? What would Jesus do? It's like that. Every time you're faced with a question or a situation in life, what would Jesus do? That's how we need to pray in the Spirit, constantly. There's also popcorn prayers. Have you heard that expression? Just short little pops of prayer that you can pray and send up to God the Father. He hears them. And when the Spirit prompts, if you can do that, then do it. If you're driving your car, keep your eyes open. It's a good thing. The second thing that Paul says is that prayer in the Spirit is varied. He says, with all kinds of prayers and requests. When the Spirit of God leads our prayer, He leads us into various types of prayer: thanksgiving, worship, intercession, confession, lament, and corporate prayer. All these types of prayer have the power to defeat the enemy. In particular, the practice of corporate prayer carries much power. Listen to the teaching of Jesus. He says in Matthew 18, verses 19 and 20, "Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there am I with them also." So Jesus teaches that corporate prayer carries tremendous power, and that when it occurs, God is with us in a special way. There are some things that God does, or He only does, when His people pray together. So prayer in the Spirit is varied. If you consider the Lord's Prayer, the model that Jesus gave us to pray in, that's a good model of what praying in the Spirit is. "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name," calls us to worship. "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven," calls us to pray for missions, evangelism, discipleship. "Give us this day our daily bread," calls us to pray for our personal needs. "Lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil," calls us to pray for spiritual protection, and so on. So you get the idea. So praying through the Lord's Prayer is a good way to pray in the Spirit. Then the third thing Paul tells us in that passage of Scripture is be alert. Be watchful. Now this is military terminology. You need to picture a soldier standing on guard. That's what Paul is saying. Be alert. Be awake. How do we be alert? We use our senses, our eyes, our ears, and we stay tuned in to the Holy Spirit. That's how we stay alert, and we watch what's going on around us. Now, notice that there's two things going on in there. There's two ways in which we need to be alert. Every battle, every war, has both an offensive and a defensive. Same in this spiritual warfare that we're engaged in. Offensive and defensive. So in the first instance, we need to be defensive and watch what the enemy is doing. What is Satan up to? He's a tricky fellow. Watch out for him. Is somebody not coming to church or to home group? Pray for them. These sorts of situations that arise around us. Is there discord or disunity in the church? We need to pray for unity. Is someone looking discouraged? Pray for joy for them. And then on the other hand, we also need to watch and see what God is doing when God is on the attack, so that we can intercede on behalf of what God is doing. Is God changing somebody's heart? Let us give thanks and pray. Is He stirring up a revival? We need to pray and intercede. Is He doing a healing works? We need to give thanks for prayers of thanks. So the fourth characteristic we can draw from that passage of Scripture is that prayer in the Spirit is persevering. We've already seen how Jude encourages us to persevere and keep ourselves in the love of God. Paul confirms that. He says the same thing. Always keep on praying. You see, prayer in the flesh is often short-lived, but spirit-led prayer is persevering prayer. Many of our blessings and victories come only through persevering prayer. And persevering prayer is also important because of the spiritual war that we're in. You'll remember that Daniel speaks about in chapter 10, he speaks about the time when he called upon the Lord and nothing happened, and he prayed for 3 weeks. Now, I'm not saying that 3 weeks is a magical number, but the point is he prayed for 3 weeks and then the angel did come, and what did he tell him? Told him that I was sent by God as soon as you started praying, but I was held up by evil forces over Persia, modern-day Iran. Modern-day Iran still is what it was then, and we heard about the oppressive influence of Muhammad. We need to continue praying, and we need to persevere in our prayers because we're involved in the spiritual warfare. Louise mentioned last time as well that the woman who prayed for her daughter for 27 years, and after 27 years, her daughter did in fact come back to the Lord. So don't get disheartened, folks. Don't give up. A spirit-led prayer perseveres. Then Paul says we are to keep on praying for all the saints. So prayer in the Spirit is universal. We are in this war with millions of other Christians who we do not know, but we must intercede for them as the Spirit leads. We intercede for Christians in our church, in our country, and for Christians all over the world, even if we may not know them. We must intercede for the persecuted church. Turkey is a good place to start. We must especially pray for our pastors and spiritual leaders and missionaries who are the target of special attacks by the enemy. So these believers, those people who are in the front lines of the spiritual battle, need our prayer. Do you know that in military logistics, it takes seven soldiers to keep one soldier in battle. Seven soldiers are required to support the one person who's actually fighting the fight. And that's the same with us in the spiritual warfare, if not more so. So we need to pray for all the saints. Prayer in the Spirit is Bible-based. Paul did not have the New Testament as he did, as we do today. If we look at what he asked for words. He asked for words that he can speak. We have the Bible. So, since all Scripture was inspired by the Holy Spirit, it comes as no surprise then that the Holy Spirit would want us to pray over the Word of God. So, prayer in the Spirit is Bible-based. If you live in the Word of God, reading it every day, memorizing portions to carry around with you, meditating on it, savoring it, then your prayers will be shaped by the Word of God. So we take what we know about the Spirit's will from Scripture, and we saturate our prayers in it. And then the seventh and final one, prayer in the Spirit is gospel-centered. Paul's prayer requests that he will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. Take note, he's in prison. He doesn't pray for his release. He doesn't pray to be got out of there. He prays for this boldness that he may spread the word of the gospel. Prayer in the Spirit is consumed with the spread of the gospel. And this also reflects our own need for boldness in witnessing. I know that most Christians struggle with fear in sharing God's word. We feel inadequate. We fear the response of people. We fear persecution, maybe in the workplace, in the form of job loss. This is also true for some preachers who sometimes hesitate to preach the full counsel of God, especially in this age where the word of God is widely rejected, or where some issues that are set out in Scripture are not politically correct. So let us continually call on the Holy Spirit to empower his people to share his word with boldness. for God's kingdom to be built and for the evil one's kingdom to be destroyed. I think that one of the main reasons why so many of us don't have a significant life of prayer is not because we don't want to, but rather that we don't plan to. Busy lives, jobs, business to run, children to raise, chores to do, errands to run. It never ends. But we can't afford to squeeze Jesus out of our busy lives. We can't afford to allow our prayer life to suffer. It is exactly that, our prayer life, with the emphasis on life. That's where we get our life. It is our means of grace. It is the means designed by God to keep us in his love unto eternity. We must persevere. When life gets us down through sickness, ill health, when tragedy strikes, business fails, or when loved ones walk away, when we feel absolutely shattered by what life, this broken world throws up at us, life circumstances throws up stuff at us continually, we must persevere in prayer. Even when we are so downhearted and depressed, when life is bitterly cruel and even unfair and unjust, and God seems so far away, you can't feel his love at all. It seems as if he's turned his back on you. Seems as if he doesn't even exist. That is when we can pray in the Spirit even more so. We can cry out, Abba Father, and know that the Holy Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are the children of God. We cry out from our heart with groanings too deep for words, and the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. Isn't that amazing? When we feel far away from God, we are kept, we are maintained, we are sustained in our spiritual life through prayer, even when we don't use words ourselves. Folks, there's a race to run and a fight to be fought. And if you want renewal in your prayer life, you must plan for it. The Holy Spirit inspires and leads us at odd times and in a variety of ways, not only when we sit down to pray. So planning to pray or having a set time to pray and keeping a prayer list are good ideas. Keep a prayer journal. Use our own newsletter that we have items for prayer. It's a place to start. And so, here at the start of this new year, let us take time to rethink our priorities. How does prayer fit into our daily lives? How can we possibly grow in constant prayer and praying in the Spirit? To that end, I have some application questions for you to consider. If you can please try and get them up. Okay. All right. Well, yeah, they are. But don't overload yourselves. Just pick one or two. Let the Holy Spirit lead you and choose one or two that you think maybe you can work on in your own prayer life. So here they are. How is God calling you to grow in constant prayer? How are you involved in? Are you as involved in corporate prayer as you could be? Are you watchful in your prayer life? What is God doing around you? How is he calling you to intercede? What types of distractions commonly keep you from being spiritually alert? How can you be more faithful in praying for all the saints? And are you praying for the preaching of the gospel as actively as you possibly can? Those five questions, challenges, are based on Ephesians 14 to 20. And they're based on the characteristics that we identified in those verses. So if you can't remember them, go back to that verse, pray over it, and let the Holy Spirit guide and direct you. And may God bless you all in your prayer life in 2018 and unto eternity.